Good morning. I think everyone that's here is aware we're doing capstone integration projects, and several of you see somebody back from a year or two ago. Welcome, Lee. You have been one of the veterans of this, one of the alums of this process, so welcome. Two presentations this morning. Our first one is Byron Pelitzer, and Byron just got the surprise of discovering that some of the names that he gave me here are actually in the audience today. His wife, Hilda, his son BJ, and his daughter Jessica. So thank you for joining us. And Byron is still recovering from discovering they're here. So give him a break if he needs to catch his breath as we get underway. Byron has studied in Guatemala, a diploma in marketing, a diploma in ministerial theology in Guatemala as well, diploma in counseling and addiction studies in Miami, Florida. He's had jobs as a warehouse manager, several different places, and working in front office as well. He has ministerial background as an ordained minister in the Southeast Mennonite Conference of the Mennonite Church, and serving as the lead pastor for Iglesia Disciplina Anabaptista. Currently, he's also serving as mentor to seven mentees within the Mennonite Church, both Hispanic and Garifuna. If we don't know what that means, let's keep an ear tuned, and I don't know if it'll show up in your presentation, but we can ask you afterwards. If Garifuna is unfamiliar to us, we'll want to become acquainted with that ethnic identity as well. Byron says, I've served the church in many capacities and boards with the Constituent Leadership Council, Commission on Home Ministries, Mennonite Men, District Minister, and Conference Council Member, among others. The title that he brings to his presentation this morning is Leadership Development from the Perspective of Ministry. Byron, we look forward to hearing from you.
Good morning. Good morning. Leadership development from the perspective of ministry. How can we make the invisible to be visible? How can we move some of the clouds from a blue sky? And how can we become agents of transformation of people's lives? These are just some of the questions that we are challenged to pose in our society and church. Our Christian faith poses a challenge to us, not to be conformed to the world, but to act on behalf of the world, especially those that have been ignored, the least, the immigrant, the new neighbor. In addition, the inhabitants of this world are seeking ways to improve their lives. Within the Hispanic context in the United States, immigrants from Latin America are not a stranger to challenges and needs. Behind each weathered face, there is a history of struggles and also of hope for the betterment of their lives and their families. But without a present, the future just fades away. We can no longer ignore the Hispanic immigrant community. They are at the very doorsteps of our neighborhoods, towns, and church. My journey has begun also shaped my personal experience. For more than two decades, I live in a place where diversity is expressed and live in so many ways. From language are the most common and basic expressions to the culinary arts, from festivities and celebrations to worship, expressions of one's deity. This type of exposure has opened a window to the world of opportunities, and instead of feeling threatened by it, I see it as a gift of grace and as a challenge at the same time. This challenge is not to feel or to be better than those that are different from me, but rather to enrich my own culture within some practices that can contribute to help me to become a better individual. Church and society, in many respects, are getting more diverse than ever. There are many reasons as to why this is happening, and I believe it's very complex. People of many colors that look different are now present within our society and church. This diversity, it's taking place whether we want it or not. It is a global phenomenon that is occurring, and we, the United States of America, are not immune to this reality. I think that accepting diversity should be understood as the willingness to participate in the endeavor of joining all together. Our differences in many respects are a gift that comes from God, and it should be not seen as a threat, but rather as an opportunity to enhance one's own personal growth. As William Conrad said it, and I quote, "Culture and racial diversity has to be celebrated. It should be seen as a way to remember that God has brought us to life in our communities to be a unique expression of God's love, wisdom, and creativity in this corner of God's creation," end of quote. As far as my personal Hispanic reality, I would like to say that since I am a part of the multicultural and racial diversity present and as an immigrant Hispanic of first generation within both society and church, I have been moved in response to God's calling and to voice out my very own experience and those Hispanics struggling for an opportunity to be noticed and to be accepted for whom they are. In addition, since I am in a privileged position of accessing higher education within both the United States educational system and the Mennonite Church, I am compelled and I am challenged to make this knowledge and training accessible to those Hispanics in struggling positions as well. How can we help those that are seeking ways to respond to God's call to leadership ministry without leaving their communities or faith? Living in a technological and a global context in which ways of communication are ceaseless and where distance is no longer seen as a hindrance, maybe part of the answer rests in our training institutions to go to the church communities instead. Or maybe it rests in our church communities or the pews of local congregations. Or perhaps it rests in a joint effort. I don't have the right answer, but I have an idea, the beginning of a possible solution for local congregations and institutions. As far as the description of my project, my project is an approach for the church that encompasses two areas. Number one, leadership development from the perspective of ministry. And the second part, skill development, which promotes improving ways to the betterment of Hispanics living in the United States of America. This proposed idea is to be used within the church setting, and it intends to use the church as the creating, supporting, and implementing body. I envision a United States context in which Hispanics are recognized for their unique gifting, skills, presence in their communities, neighborhoods, and the broader context. The task at hand is to contest the United States' tendency to undervalue immigrants who often function as invisible church and community leaders, laborers, family members, and professionals in their neighborhoods through assisting skilled mentors will help these immigrants to navigate their new context in response to God's call to ministry in whatever areas they feel and discern that are being called to. It is the intention then to affirm and to equip Hispanic leaders that have been called to church leadership within their own context and culture. In so doing, leading more theologically and fundamentally sound Hispanic congregations. Hispanic leadership development opportunities in their own language and culture for Hispanics are very limited to nothing in church settings. Consequently, my project will be written and presented to Hispanic churches in Spanish language. The scriptures that have illuminated this project are Ephesians 4:1-16 and Acts 6:1-7. And I quote Paul when writes to the Ephesians, "The gift that The gift he gave were that some will be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to measure to the full stature of Christ. As I read Paul, I see how ministry of the church in the first century was organized and it was led. It was not centered in human leaders, but rather in the ministry/service of the church as the body of Christ. They were organized by the fivefold ministry, and certainly there were people whom were called to a specific area of ministry. And yes, these people exercise leadership and authority in local congregations and abroad the church. The church was growing and expanding across the Roman Empire. It was not longer centered in Jerusalem only. Consequently, leadership development was needed. There was various names given to the ministerial functions. It was not limited only to the fivefold ministry. The Church of Christ began to be more visible within and outside of the confinements of Jerusalem, and it needed to be more organized and led accordingly. Jesus, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, provided the disciples with leaders, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Their most basic job, as I see it, was to equip followers of Jesus in order to build up the body of Christ and to show them how to be conformed to the image of Christ. In other words, it was a call for intentional discipleship. Whether the leadership reference is made to deacons, presbyter, apostle, pastor, or any other name or kind, the emphasis remained in Jesus and the activity of the Holy Spirit as the foundation for leadership and for the proclamation of the kingdom of God. As the good news of Jesus was shared, the church grew, and so it was the need for leadership development. Luke writes, "Now during those days when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution and food," and so on. Acts 6:1-7. In this text, while Jesus' movement was still around Jerusalem, we read how the apostles gathered the church and requested from them to choose 7 men of good standing, with the gift of wisdom and full of with the Holy Spirit, to take care of the tables while they continued the ministry of preaching the word. Now, these men were not just waiters cleaning up tables of any first century restaurant. These men were serving God and the church. They were taking care of the distribution of the food, and they were ministers at the same time. It seems to me that local leadership and skill development program was in progress right here. As I take a look at Stephen, I see a leader within the church and the community. In my opinion, he was an evangelist, and he was a waiter, or deacon if you prefer, yet he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and later on his conviction led him to die for Christ. Under the leadership of the 12 apostles, Stephen and the other 6 deacons, waiters, were trained in ministry and how to serve the tables. Not to the personal gain, but rather for the sake of Christ, the church, and for the testimony to the broader community. Among these 7 men, there was a proselyte of Antioch. He was from another culture, but he was too a disciple of Jesus Christ. Yet, he was not left out. He was counted among those called for ministry, for service, to enter in an intensive leadership and skill development training program, if you ask me. The Hispanic community, it's either left out or ignored from the church leadership because of their cultural, educational, and language realities, among many more. The United States system in general, it's not completely friendly to Hispanics. The church faces the reality of having Hispanics that have obtained formal or higher education in their countries of origin, and those whose training is very limited also, or either way, they are present. There are a few things that are common for most Hispanics. First, their language, the knowledge of English language is very limited to non-existent. Second, a lot of them are undocumented. Consequently, formal education and skill training is almost impossible, unless they are wealthy, which is very rare. Third, the church faces the reality of having Hispanics either in leadership positions or called to it. The challenge is that these brothers and sisters have little to nothing theological training or any kind of church-related training. But it's also true that there is a very small percentage that has been formally trained. The first stage of my project in leadership development goes like this, as my way of attending to respond to some degree the Hispanic reality. I will address the leadership development need from the perspective of ministry, encompass in a series of 8 workshop sessions and a list of resources for future references. This list of resources contains both English and in Spanish as well. Among you, there is a couple of samples of the material at hand. This stage is strictly addressing the need within the church of a training and like training the trainers. This is like we're going to go to the church and train trainers and trainees. The proposed themes for the leadership development form goes like introductions, themes like ministry, understanding leadership, mentorship, discipleship, leadership distinctiveness. The format of each one of the sessions is like the title of a team. It contains objectives, dynamics, group interactions, personal reflections, time for questions, and Q&As. In order to accomplish the training of facilitator manual, PowerPoint presentation, and training handout material will be developed. I am happy to announce that at this point, 98% of the material in Spanish has already been produced. Local congregation is the key to this project. The training will take place within the local congregation. Prior to the local congregation, the congregation will decide who is attending it. It is estimated that the workshop will require a minimum of 30 hours of interaction or whoever the local congregation decides on. The second stage of my project is the skill development. Local congregations will spot and contact 3 professional mentors, as will be suggested, with hands-on experience as soon as they're ready to launch this project. A suggestion will be made to find them within 2 months after the workshop is presented. Mentors and mentees will enter in a professional relationship for a year. They will use one-on-one sessions, phone calls, and any other ways of communication. Community assessment will take place prior launching the skill development stage. The local congregation needs to engage with the immediate community in order to hear and assess the needs of the community. This assessment will better position the local church to determine what the needs are. Local communities need to be informed by the church of its intentions also. Once the assessment takes place, the church will discern in which areas are they going to respond based on their capabilities. After the church has discerned and decided the areas of skill development, the local church will inform the community, and a community meeting will be suggested in which the areas of training and mentors will be announced. Mentors and mentees, they need to be assigned within areas of expertise, and they will pair up for a year and will be meeting bi-weekly for action and reflection. The local church will discern how they will monitor to its local leadership and skill development. it will be suggested to put together a task development team. As a response to my project, I am not stranger to the struggle to the Hispanic communities and within the United States and the church. As a Hispanic living in the United States, the context and whose journey has not been easy, I have seen and lived the need for leadership development from ministerial perspective from Hispanic churches. They are longing for training in their own language and context. I have embraced the dream and the vision as depicted in the Bible, a church comprised of people of many nations, tribes, and cultures where the powerless, the unseen, sits together with the strong, joining hands in harmony. I envision a church that provides training to its parishioners, regardless of their gender, their immigration, social, cultural, political, and economical status, respectively. Since I have been given the opportunity to pursue higher education, I am challenged and compelled to go back to my Hispanic community and give by grace, it's been given to me. I am the lucky few, and I am among the 10,000 that prays, wishes, and desires to be given an opportunity to pursue theological, educational, and skill training so that I may respond to God's calling to ministry for the betterment of our lives. In conclusion, a popular saying goes like this: we might not have it all together, but together we can have it all. Friends, this is not the promised land, but together we can make it a land of promise. Maybe we will not remove all the clouds from a Hispanic immigrant sky, but we can bring a little ray of sunshine to their lives, to their loved ones, and to the local congregations. Thanks for your time.